We're currently on the record with project number 2022105705. This is a request by Lakeside Industries for a special use permit to allow asphalt recycling. We're currently on the record. At this point, prior to beginning, I'd like to ask, is Craig Challen present?
Yes, sir.
And are you ready to proceed on behalf of the county today, sir?
Yes, sir.
And then the applicant, Lakeside Milam, or Lakeside Industries, I'm not sure who'll be taking lead, but who
That'll be me, Mr. Shelton, John Hempelman, counsel for Lakeside Industries.
And so Lakeside's ready to proceed, sir?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. We're currently conducting this virtually. So I know we're all well acquainted with virtual hearings, but please keep your devices muted until you're going to address the examiner and by raising your hand. At this point, I'm currently in my own home. It looks like everyone else is comfortable. My name is Stephen R. Shelton. I am the pro tem examiner for Thurston County, handling these matters today. Brief introduction, I'm also the deputy hearing examiner for Pierce County, and then the hearing examiner for five different cities and towns in Pierce County. I'm pleased to be able to assist everyone today. Prior to becoming a hearing examiner, I was the judge in Puyallup, Sumner, and Ruston for about 20 years. If anyone has any concerns regarding my ability to handle these matters impartially today, just please bring that to my attention and I will make a record of that. After the county provides its overall statement, then certainly Lakeside can present as the applicant. I anticipate Mr. Heppelman will address matters as far as who will be presenting and what order. Once I've heard all the testimony and taken all the records into account, I will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision within 10 working days. Since the county does consider the day after Thanksgiving as a holiday, then this decision would need to be issued by November 30th. If anyone would like to have a copy of that, just make sure you're a party of record. Email addresses are always real helpful. Prior to anyone testifying today, I'll be placing you under oath, so all statements are being made under penalty of perjury. At this time, Mr. Challen, if you'd like to begin the proceedings today, please raise your right hand. You swear and affirm you'll tell the truth and nothing but the truth before the examiner today. If you will, just please state, I will.
I will.
Thank you, sir. Please state your name, spell it, and your position with Thurston County.
Yes, my name is Craig Challen. That's K-R-A-I-G, Challen, C-H-A-L-E-M. I am a senior planner with Thurston County's Community Planning and Economic Development Department. And I am here on behalf of the department, representing the department, managing this application.
Okay, thank you, sir. Would you like to make an overall presentation prior to the applicant presenting?
Yeah, there's a couple things I would like to just mention for the record. One of them is that we've submitted some information, I believe, yesterday. And it is in relation to the staff report that was submitted as exhibit one, and that staff report has attachments A through BB. And the two items that were submitted were the SEPA checklist for this project. Two was a an errata memorandum. This is actually produced at the request of our normal hearing examiner, basically to cover any errors or additional information that may be provided at the hearing, and it outlines those elements that need to be addressed. I would ask that the applicant's representative address these items. And these are just some changes to the staff report with respect to the relationship of the applicant and the other neighboring uses, I guess you'd say, but I don't believe that it substantively or significantly affects what they are requesting in their application. And the application is to operate or is to import reclaimed and recycled asphalt material, I believe, on site, which will be stored under a 15,000 plus square foot structure, which is consistent with a permit they received approximately 2 years ago.
Okay, thank you, sir. And are you requesting that the initial staff report and the attachments A through BB be admitted into the record today?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And then there's also exhibit two that you've noted. Now, as to that errata memorandum, I appreciate the way it was presented regarding strikeouts and then additional language. Is it also anticipated that that will be incorporated in an amended staff report? So it'll be a final staff report that will be available to be part of the record, or is the approach to have the staff report and exhibit two kind of sit there independently?
No, I believe this would be, this would amend the current staff report and be, well, entered into the record. However, staff would like to reserve, if necessary, by the end of the hearing, any changes that they feel appropriate.
Okay, so we can address that later as to a final document. I like the idea of separating it out, but I'm also cognizant it's nice to have a clean record of the case, and it might need to actually incorporate your changes in a final report. As to your report, did you have any further comments you'd like to make?
No, sir.
And one comment I did want to inquire about, I've never seen a staff report that does, and if I'm looking at page six, where you're certainly providing a response and then repeatedly stating staff asked the applicant to speak to this requirement for more comprehensive description of how this is met. And so I anticipate you've had discussions with the applicant that they're ready to proceed specifically on those particular issues to infill your staff report.
That is my understanding that they will be able to address those.
And then as to the conditions, so I'm a little more clear on this. Eventually I'll ask the applicant how they view the conditions. Under Department Recommendation number on page 7, you've listed all the various departments in which the applicant should conform with rules and regulations. And then specifically, you've separated out certain attachments. And I'm not sure why you have the overall kind of catch-all in, and then also the specifics. I just haven't seen that before.
I'm speaking to the department recommendations and those and the individual department recommended conditions being incorporated into that under A in department recommendations.
Okay. So we can have that discussion perhaps a little later after I have more information before me. So at this point, I will go ahead and admit the record that you've referenced into this proceeding. And I'm also noting another individual from various individuals from Thurston County. Ms. Peoples, representing Environmental Health, did you have any comments you'd like to make today?
Yes, Dawn Peebles, that's DawnPeebles. I'm with Thurston County Public Health and Social Services Environmental Health Division.
And you swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth before the examiner today. If you will, just please state, I will.
I will.
Thank you, ma'am. Please proceed.
Our department did review the referenced application, and our correspondence is included in the record at attachment BB. As you noted, we do have three conditions of approval that are not itemized in the staff report and should be included. And in particular, the condition of approval on attachment page 8, identified as I, can be removed as environmental health conditions specify that information as well.
I'm looking at your report. So would you please restate your request, ma'am?
So you had identified that under department recommendations on page 7, it includes A, B, C, and D under item A, which item D is environmental health's recommendation of approval.
Yes, ma'am.
Attachment BB. And our correspondence does include three conditions of approval. And so I just wanted to ensure that those are clearly identified in the staff report or the findings so that it's clear to the applicant. And condition I on page 8 appears to be similar in nature to environmental health condition number 1, which is the facility obtaining a solid waste handling permit.
So you believe that condition I can be stricken?
Correct.
And your conditions on BB are not numbered, but they're simply bullet points. And I'm assuming you just want those 1, 2, 3.
That's fine, yes.
And that kind of goes to my initial inquiry regarding A, little D. So I appreciate that. I will make sure that those are separately noted and listed as I figure out the format. So thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
At this time, Mr. Saint, did you have any comments you'd like to make today?
No comments per se. My memorandum with conditions is in the record.
It is, and that is under
it looks like attachment Z.
Z, I'm getting to it. That's correct. Yep. And so you have under Z specific conditions. And are those conditions specifically delineated in the department's recommendations?
I believe they are. I did not look through the staff report to double check that, but there are conditions are in the memorandum.
Correct. And would you, as Ms. Peoples had requested, like the specific conditions to be listed or simply lumped together under recommendation A, small a?
Lumping them together is acceptable to Public Works.
Okay, and there again, I will look to the applicant, but I think I'll probably be leaning towards separating those out. Makes for a longer condition list, but makes it more understandable. So thank you.
That makes sense too.
Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And then looking at other county, I see there's a deputy prosecuting attorney here. Mr. Burns, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Examiner Shelton. Nice to see you this morning. I am not here in a full representative capacity. I was here at the request of staff. This has been a longstanding project and potentially some questions that may come up. So I'm here largely to assist as needed rather than to represent CPED in any kind of representative manner.
I appreciate your being here today. Thank you very much.
You bet.
It's interesting that I'm addressing this matter today because like a couple of years ago, I addressed the renewal, and it's kind of a pleasure to come back and revisit a situation. So it looks like that does bring me up to speed as to the presentation by county. So now looking towards Mr. Hempelman. Oh, there you are. Mr. Hempelman, at this point in time, are you going to be testifying today or simply representing and bringing presentations before me.
I will not be testifying. I will manage our presentation, and it's good to see you again. We worked together, as you will recall, on the five-year review of the Lakeside asphalt plant operation down in Thurston County. And you'll recall from a couple years ago that we did discuss the fact that we were applying for a amendment to the special use permit for this plant, this asphalt plant, to allow recycling of asphalt. It's the most recycled product in the world. But years ago, there was a provision in the Nisqually subarea plan that prohibited recycling of asphalt. And the county commissioners, through its comprehensive plan amendment process, has removed that prohibition. There's an essential requirement that in this subarea that reclaimed recycled asphalt be covered. And so that is the request of Lakeside. As you could see from the application, the staff report, the SEPA checklist, this is an application to amend the SUP to allow importation of reclaimed asphalt, which is what is scraped off the roads and off of driveways and other places where asphalt is to be removed. And then it's brought to the plant where it's reintroduced into the mix. So literally, we are recycling old asphalt into new asphalt. So it's a very environmentally progressive and positive approach. So that's what's before you. I'm going to ask Kyler Danielson of Lakeside to testify. But before I do that, Mr. Shelton, it is Lakeside's request today that the errata, as part of a corrected staff report, be sent out to everyone, every agency and individual who received the initial staff report. And we're going to request, we do request, that you hold the record open for 2 weeks after the county confirms that they have sent out the errata, so that anyone who wants to comment on it can comment. There is the problem with the staff report, and this is, as Mr. Burns pointed out, this has been a long process over almost, well, since 2008. We've been working on this issue of adding recycled asphalt to this plant. And the staff report, as it went out, indicated that Lakeside was mining, which they are not, indicating that we had a concrete plant there, which we do not. And that's under separate ownership. And we do not want a confused record to be out there where someone can complain in the future that they relied on that information. And so while it's delaying the process for us, and maybe it's belt and suspenders, we prefer to have a clean record and to have the corrected staff report be sent to people. And if they want to comment, they can comment. We don't know whether anyone will comment, but that is our request.
And I appreciate you bringing that to my attention, because actually I was going to address the staff report and the recommended conditions. Obviously, the applicant needs to eventually agree with recommended conditions, or obviously look towards an appeal. As to this resending, would you want just the errata sent out, or that should be sent out. But I'm also wondering whether or not there should be a final staff report sent out that incorporates the errata information.
That makes the most sense to us. Yes.
And I think it might be a good idea to send out the errata so it really does highlight the issues that then could be addressed. Now, in the amended, obviously, we know if a contract's amended, you look at strikeouts and additions. Is it going to be satisfactory to send out the errata as it is and then send out the amended staff report without strikeouts and additions so that yes. The clean staff report?
Yes, that's exactly the way it should be done. Some people, as you know, don't like to read red lines. We give them both. We make it easy for people to see where the changes are. And then we give them a clean final staff report that incorporates the red lines.
Okay, and then as to the conditions, I've mentioned earlier that I appreciate when an applicant accepts conditions that they're clearly laid out. And even if it's lengthy, that's the way some of these need to be. I was inquiring of Mr. Saint and Ms. Peoples as to delineating those recommendations from those two departments individually and separately rather than kind of lumping them together. So in what are the applicants' response to that inquiry, because that could be incorporated in the amended staff report that would then go out along with the errata.
I think that's a great idea. It helps everybody if the conditions are all in one place. And we as Ms. Danielson will confirm, we're in agreement with all those conditions. Ms. Peoples specifically mentioned the fact that we would need to get a solid waste permit from the county, and yes, we anticipate doing that.
And so in looking at, also, what do you think, Mr. Huffman, about the way the recommendation is presented under A, just the whole litany of departments that the applicant needs to abide by regulations thereof, and then the specifics? Is that first paragraph helpful, or is that first paragraph confusing?
I would leave the first paragraph out and just list the specific conditions. It's in the record, and of course, we're familiar with all those requirements, and the agencies have all been specific about their conditions, and so. I think that's my preference. I don't object to that first paragraph being listed as one of the conditions, but I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Burns, looking at that, just that issue as to what Mr. Upland is asking for a resending both the errata and then an amended staff report that would incorporate any revisions we're actually making now. What is the county's position on that?
Well, I would like to hear what Mr. Chalom has to say. At least from my perspective, I think that's a good course of action and would recommend that the hearing examiner take up that request. But Craig, I'm not sure if you have any specific concerns, but I think it makes sense to clean it up, both having the errata available, a brand new staff report that is incorporating everything that this group at this point is recognizing as the path forward. That way we can get full notice and comment and escape any semblance of a procedural issue. So I'm on board, but would like to hear if Mr. Chalom has any additional comments.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to ask Mr. Chalom that, but I frankly defer to counsel to begin with and appreciate that. Mr. Chalom, do you have any comments or questions as to what we're talking about?
Nope, I'm very clear on what you're saying, and I have no objection.
And before that's sent out, would it be worthwhile, Mr. Upman, for Lakeside to just take a look at it to make sure that we're sending out something that is clear and concise and agreeable to the parties?
Yes, sir. As a general matter, we always, as applicants, appreciate the opportunity to see staff draft reports and offer corrections to avoid mistakes being made. So I don't think there'll be any mistakes in the next staff report, but we would appreciate double checking it. Yes.
Is that agreeable with Mr. Burns and Mr. Challen?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And so I would, unless there's strong objection, I would like to have that first paragraph deleted unless there's a basis for it. And then we have, and I know every jurisdiction is different, but I would like to have the recommendations, which would then be the conditions of approval, if indeed I do approve it. I'd like them numerical, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. It just seems simpler. And there again, the order of that, I'm not going to dictate, other than all of the conditions that are listed in A, B, C, D under capital A would be listed out. And those are the available in the attachments. And then let's see, number capital I, according to Ms. Peoples, would be no longer necessary. And then pick up, as far as I can tell, there's no duplicates in C through H of the conditions, but that should be reviewed too to make sure there's nothing in C through H that was also included in the four attachments. And they'd just be listed numerically, a draft sent to whoever Mr. Hebelman would want it to. Oh, I'll just leave it up to the parties who it can be sent to, and for that to be reviewed. And then I would then know once that's reviewed, and no matter how long that takes, and once there's confirmation that the document has been sent out, then there'd be the record would be held open for two weeks past that. And so there'll then need to be some confirmation as to being sent out. Comment period expiring. And I guess at any time during that period, the record is open. I guess there'd be no reason to keep it open for any other comments unless the applicant would want other comments, but I really don't want to just open this up again. It's been probably open long enough. So is there any way, do I need to restrict that? The record's open simply for the errata and the amended staff report to be sent out to all the parties that have previously received staff report, and then a 2-week waiting period to see if anyone responds. And if there are responses that necessitate a comment, how would we like to address that, Mr. Challen or Mr. Heppelman?
My suggestion would be that if either the county or the applicant wishes to respond to a comment, that they be entitled to do so within a week following the closure of that 2-week comment period, just so we close the loop.
And Mr. Challen, does that make sense?
Yeah, I have no objection to that, Mr. Examiner.
And the only difficulty here is really tracking all of this, and but there needs to be some way that it's tracked. Would that be, what would be the best way to track that? So it goes besides just word of mouth, some way to track it's been sent and the 2 weeks has expired, and then another week if, I guess there could be, would be a good idea to have another actual attachment.
So my suggestion is this, that if Mr. Challen will advise the parties when the revised staff report and errata has been sent out to others who have previously received it, that will trigger the 2-week period. And Mr. Chalam, if you would, you might in your email to the examiner and to us and Ms. Katie and others, just say the 2 weeks will expire such and such. We'll then monitor it as I'm sure Mr. Chalam will. And if there are comments to which we need to respond, we will then respond to essentially the email chain that Mr. Chalam has started that will include you, Mr. Shelton. I'm thinking out loud about this. To close the loop, I think Lakeside will respond one way or the other. So if after 2 weeks there are no comments, we'll just say there are no comments. We have no further comments. If there's a comment that we want to respond to, we'll respond to it within the week. We will note at that time what that 1 week period is, Mr. Examiner. So that will essentially trigger the closure of that record. And I would suggest that Ms. Katie essentially be the record keeper of the clock, so to speak.
Thank you, sir. And Mr. Chalam, do you have any idea now how long that would take to amend the staff report and then to actually send it out to the necessary parties?
I'd give it a day. I think that it could maybe even wrap it up today after the hearing. But I think I'd rather have till the end of tomorrow to make the changes and send it out. I do have a question or a suggestion with respect to, you mentioned another attachment potentially. Because I was initially thinking that maybe after we were done here, you would send out an order clarifying these things, and that could be made a cover letter to the attachment so that everybody who received it understood why they were getting it and that they had 2 weeks to respond from the date of the date that it was sent. And then everybody would get that so that everybody knew what those dates are. And then at the end of those 2 weeks, I would notify everybody here and any interested parties of record that had sent in a comment, notification that had been received and that you had 1 week to respond.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. And I like very much the idea of an interim order from the examiner confirming this process.
Like that's no, I very... appreciate that. And I was actually looking at my phone to check out calendars because I was thinking that I would issue an order and maybe come up with some dates certain. But if everyone's in agreement that the confirmation of it being sent out would trigger the 2 weeks, I can provide that in the verbiage of the order. And so I will draft up a preliminary order to document the discussion today.
Perfect.
And I think within that, I think as long as I'm going to do that, I'm also going to go in and clean up the recommendations. So I will go ahead and list those as to the department recommendations. So I'm comfortable that it's being listed as I see fit. So I'll issue that order. Today's Tuesday. I can issue that order by Friday and send it to the parties if that's agreeable.
Thank you.
Mr. Chalam, thank you very much. Mr. Burns, is that okay with county?
I think that sounds great. The only thing I would, looking at these timeframes, just ensure that should there be a comment that is substantive at this point. I think Mr. Challen had mentioned, the errata doesn't significantly change the recommendation from the department. But should that change, I would just ensure you allow in your interim order an opportunity for the department to respond to the hearing examiner in addition to the commenters. But other than that, that's mainly a procedural issue. I think you got it all dialed in other than that.
Are we going to be in a position where we're going to be having comments going back and forth? We'll have the 2 weeks and some comment comes in and the applicant responds and the county responds. And is there any reason to set up some sort of process?
I think in all fairness, this process has to end like any process. I fully recognize that. And I think Lakeside would appreciate it as well. I think what I would envision is your preliminary order will set those time frames. And I would just ensure that there's an opportunity for the parties to, I don't know if it's a brief, but somehow provide any information that's necessary to hear an examiner. It may be as simple as the department say, hey, we received all comments and our position isn't changed. The same thing with Lakeside, or we got these comments and this is what we think. We renew our initial requests or whatever it might be, more to just close the loop and ensure that we're not, setting this up as an opportunity to comment that doesn't get considered, right? And I think these are all things, Mr. Shelton, that I think you probably instinctively would do anyway. I just want to make sure that as we're extending this comment period, we're at least acknowledging the fact that all these things will be considered and a final order will be forthcoming. So however you might want to deal with that, I think that's fine. I just want to make sure that that we are, the parties are given an opportunity to react to these comments in some significant way. But I'm kind of brainstorming here, so I apologize if I'm rambling a bit, but just something to think about as you're setting those deadlines. But by no means, I think we do need deadlines, and comment period closes, and perhaps you set it up where you have a party before the end of the period would have to request any additional hearing if it's necessary or something like that. I don't know, John or Mr. Hempelman, do you have any thoughts or ideas of where I'm coming from on this?
Yeah, what we want people to have the opportunity to comment on are the changes in the staff report, which are primarily related, as I mentioned earlier, to the ownership of the mine and the difference between the mine and the concrete plant and the asphalt plant. That's the major issue in the errata. But I don't think effectively we can restrict the public who have received this. The agencies I don't foresee any issue at all. There are members of the public who will receive this errata and the staff report. Those are the folks that I'm anticipating need to know the difference between the ownership of the various facilities there.
We want to give them enough time. I think 2 weeks is sufficient.
Yes.
For someone to receive it and make a decision if they're going to respond. And also I like the idea of some end date. I'm trying to think in terms of whether or not we need to build in any time for the county and the applicant to have some sort of meeting of the minds, or if there are comments that are received from the public, just the department and the applicant respond to that. And then I look at all of that and put it all in the mix, or do I need to give you an opportunity to thresh out some of this stuff before it actually gets to me?
I think a week is plenty enough time. We're very, very comfortable reaching out to staff, and I'm sure staff are very comfortable reaching out to us on any issue that comes up, if it comes up. But, you know, we want to get this over and done with. So I can assure you that Lakeside will be watching very carefully any comments that come in. They're going to come in to Mr. Chalam, correct, Mr. Chalam? They're going to be made to the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so will you be able to commit to, between you and other staff, to immediately alert us to any comments?
I can, but maybe actually more appropriate if it was indicated and then it was an email provided for Miss Katie.
I'm okay with that. Oh, sorry. I can route them to all the parties as I receive them, and then you can route your comments to me and I'll get them to the hearing examiner.
That would be great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is that agreeable, Mr. Appleman?
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Ms. Katie.
Okay. And I'm also looking at the calendar. I can't get my mind off the calendar. What I'd like to do is just set this up for the record to be closed on December 15th. And that is actually provides an extra week. But if I can submit the order by the end of the week, the first part of the following week, probably go out a good couple of weeks, then that's going to allow an additional week there. And if the public doesn't respond, then there should be an email that comes out that the record's closed, that the parties are comfortable with the record being closed. If not, then there'll be a requirement to wait another week. But I would like to have an end date. So I like Mr. Burns' idea of having it has to end sometime. This builds in a little room in there, but is that agreeable, Mr. Appleman?
That's a great idea, yes.
Okay, so that'll be my task for the next couple of days. And I will submit that to Ms. Katie, who will then send that out to the parties. Agreeable, Mr. Chalam, Mr. Burns, Mr. Appleman?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, so with that minor issue resolved, let's move forward. Mr. Helpman, you had indicated who you would like to testify first. Well, I think that was Ms. I guess I can't remember.
Ms. Danielson, and it is likely that on a couple of the issues, we might also request Ms. Karen Deal to speak. But I would like to introduce Karen Danielson from Lakeside Industries, Mr. Shelton, and I know you're going to ask her to raise her right hand.
Yes, I am. So, Ms. Danielson, please raise your right hand. You swear and affirm you'll tell the truth and nothing but the truth before the examiner today. If you will, just please state, I will.
I will.
And please state your name and spell it and your profession, ma'am.
My name is Kyler Danielson, K-Y-L-E-R, D-A-N-I-E-L-S-O-N. I am a land use project manager for Lakeside Industries. I've been working for Lakeside for about 5 years now.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Mr. Appleman, did you anticipate her simply testifying, or did you want to ask questions?
No, I just like Kyler to proceed, briefly explain what we're doing and to respond to the issues in the staff report where there was a request for Lakeside responses. So I don't need to have a question and answer approach. Kyler knows this business.
Thank you. Please proceed, ma'am.
Okay, it sounds like he's ceding the floor here. The Lakeside requested quite a long time ago that the Nisqually sub-area plan be amended because there was a prohibition on recycling asphalt in the Nisqually sub-area. That amendment moved forward and was passed in 2020. The change to the sub-area plan, just in basic terms, required best management practices, including a cover. That was a very long, involved process. We were really pleased that we were able to work with the community and get that that passed with the community's input and have that all move forward. So because that passed, and we were in the middle of the periodic review process for the Durgan Asphalt Plant, we decided to focus on the periodic review process and get that done. And we appreciate you, Examiner Sheldon, for your effort on our periodic review process. That decision was made in July 2021. And through that process, there were some comments about the water impacts from some material that we had on site. And so the decision required us to cover that material. And so since then, we have installed a temporary cover. It's essentially a very, very large tarp over the material that's existing on the site. But we want to install this permanent cover structure that is proposed in this application. And so since then, we've applied for the pre-application. We went through a pre-application process. And then we applied for this permit in November of 2022. We have been really pleased working with the staff on this. They've been very helpful in moving this project forward. I noticed that Mr. Chalam included some requests that we respond to some questions in the staff report. So hopefully I'm covering all of them. The first one I believe is in section G, and it was about the source of the recycled asphalt pavement, the or reclaimed asphalt pavement. We use that interchangeably. This was actually the subject of one of the edits of the staff report that we recommended, because we included in our application project description that we actually have a policy prohibiting acceptance and import of recycled asphalt pavement from industrial and commercial hazardous material storage sites or sites undergoing cleanup action. And we are committed to complying with the county's requirement with this regard. So I don't know if there's any other questions on that one, but I'm hoping that our edit to the staff report and my response here is an adequate response to that question.
Yes, ma'am.
So then I'll move on. I believe the next one is section I. Asphalt plant shall be fueled by natural gas, propane, or an alternative fuel with the same or less hazardous emissions or waste as natural gas or propane. And this, in our SEPA checklist, which was recently added to the record as, I believe, attachment K, it's, I hope I got that letter right.
You did.
On page 8 of the SEPA checklist, we mention that the existing asphalt plant is operated with natural gas and diesel is used as a backup as necessary. So that's responded to in our application materials. J, the operation shall maintain a solid waste permit from Thurston County. We've spoken with Don Peebles and Environmental Health on this. We understand that a solid waste permit is required for this, and we intend to apply for one. So we have no issues there. And then K, asphalt plant shall meet all applicable requirements of 17.22, with the hope that I don't have to go through the whole section of the code right now. Our understanding is we comply with it. We went through the periodic review process very recently to go over our existing operation and our compliance. And there were some additional conditions that were added at that time, and we have made every effort to comply with those. I believe that's it for what the staff report requested us to provide. I'm happy to answer any questions about this project, about our operations. Karen Deal, our environmental and land use director, is also here. She is very knowledgeable and can answer any questions.
Well, I appreciate that, Ms. Danielson. Appreciate your infilling that information and also addressing the attachments. So this time, Ms. Deal, did you see any need to address the examiner today? Anything you've heard or anything you'd like to bring forward?
At this point, I do not. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. This time, Mr. Eppelman, anyone else on behalf of the applicant would like to address the examiner?
No, Mr. Examiner, that we've completed our response.
And Mr. Chalam, at this time, did you have any follow-up with to the comments that Ms. Danielson has made regarding her infilling the applicant's responsibility under the staff report?
No, Examiner Shelton, I just want to thank everybody for their efforts to make everything clear to the record.
Appreciate that very much. At this point, Ms. Katie, do we have any members of the public who are waiting to address the examiner?
We do have two members of the public present. I'm not sure if they'd like to testify yet, but if you would like to go ahead and raise your hand, which should be the hand raise button on the bottom of your screen, and we'll be able to unmute you. And I'm not seeing hands raised.
Okay.
Again, we have two members of the public. If you'd like to testify, please hit the raise your hand icon at the button, bottom of your screen.
Okay, so with no hands being raised, I certainly appreciate the two members of the public who have taken the time out of their, I'm sure, busy day to observe. This is a fascinating ongoing process, and I appreciate individuals are interested in it. As to the exhibits, it looks like the applicant and the county are comfortable with the exhibits having been submitted to date, except for obviously the comments that might arise once the errata and the amended staff report are submitted to the parties who are interested. So before I conclude these proceedings, Mr. Heppelman, any further matters the applicant would like to address?
No, sir. We have completed our presentation.
And Mr. Chalam's already indicated they've completed and he appreciates participation. I could probably give myself an order at this point when I will issue my order. But I'm really looking towards Friday. But if it does need to slip over to Monday, I appreciate everyone's patience. I have five hearings in 2 days that I'm in the midst of right now. In fact, right before this hearing, I received documents, additional documents regarding a 2 o'clock matter I have today. So for some reason, these cases seem to be more organic than I like them to be. But it does make it interesting. So, Mr. Chalam, thank you very much for your staff report and your presentation. I appreciate Ms. Peoples and Mr. Saint. Always is a pleasure. Ms. Deal and Ms. Danielson, appreciate your presenting. And I think I did see you a couple years ago. And Mr. Heppelman, without a doubt, it's always a pleasure to see you, sir. So we'll now close the public hearing, but leave the record open until December 15th under the conditions that will be delineated in the order I will issue in short order. So we're off the record. I wish everyone the very best. Won't see you before Thanksgiving. So wish you all that.